Will you turn with me to that chapter we read together, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11, and the example that follows in verses 12 through to 14. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And then he speaks about the shepherd going out to seek after the one sheep, the 99, from the flock. We ask ourselves the question, what does it mean when it says the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost? When you go through different portions of the Scriptures, we're told that He's come to call sinners to repentance. He has come to give the gift of abundant and everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to help those who are in need. He has come to help the sinner, the person who is conscious and aware of having done something wrong before God and having to give an account to Him for it. That's the essence, the simple statement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He brings that about through His own death upon the cross. And He applies that to every one of His people, leading us through the experience of repentance, when we are made aware of the enormity of what we've done. But He doesn't stop us there and park us there. He leads us through that experience so that we may come to know the fullness of eternal life and acceptance before God. He has come not to destroy, but to save men's lives. This then is the gospel message of hope for people like us. Our lives are gone wrong. Our lives are in a mess. There's so much in our lives that we can regret having said or having done. But having done them, said them, there's also a lot of guilt upon our lives that we try to remove, but no matter how we do so, we cannot. Sometimes it gets to the point where our hearts are breaking. It gets to the point where the pain is that intense. Nobody knows it, but we feel it. When we're aware of just that loneliness of being before God, Him and me, you and Him, all of that life involvement fades into the background. Everything that we get involved in suddenly goes at arm's distance from us. And the Lord God is dealing with us, even as we believe He is dealing with us here this morning. We are come then, all of us with the complex of our characters, all of us with the things of this world weighing down upon us. And the one thing, if we're feeling like this, if we're conscious of our own spirituality, if we're conscious of God dealing with us and speaking to us, if there's one thing that we come to or come into church looking for, if there's one question that is in our minds, it's this one: as we sit in the pew and as the sermon starts, as we're conscious of these problems, weights, and concerns upon us, we're sitting on the edge of our seat and we're asking ourselves and we're asking the minister this question: has God a word for me today? Has God a word for me today? In my condition, with such a heavy, sensitive, and spiritual experience, coming, carrying all of these things with me into church, you feeling them, us feeling them, we wait to hear what God has to say to us. And when we're like that, we can be so easily discouraged just simply a simple word out of place, and we can be so easily sent away, discouraged and disheartened. But we're also alert and waiting for a word of hope from God for us. We can feel, just like this passage goes on to describe, we can feel like the illustration the Lord is using here. We can be just like the sheep. We're gone astray. We might have broken out and run away. We might have tried where we are, looking for freedom, but never finding it. Kicking over all of the traces and kicking over all of the traditions and the teachings and the examples we've got, and we're going to do it my way. But my way doesn't work. And so we end up in all kinds of troubles. Is there anyone to help us? And we have here the shepherd, the Lord who reveals his own compassion and his care through very simple stories in the scriptures. The shepherd who provides for the sheep, who goes in front of them to guide them, and when one goes astray, we're told here, he leaves the 99 others and he goes seeking out deliberately that one that is lost. That's the commitment, the care, the help of the shepherd to one of his own in need. He has come then to save and to help, to cure, to search for, and to restore. No matter how low we might think ourselves to be, no matter how low we think we've taken ourselves, no matter where we are, yes, there's people quite literally in the gutters, people whose esteem of themselves is so very low that all they can think of is ending it all and going away. People like that today round about us. We might not be there with them completely, but we know perhaps what they're going through. Somebody who is relatively insignificant in their own mind and in their own judgment. But that's the very one the Lord is speaking of and speaking to here this morning. Notice what it says in verse 10, just before this illustration. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. Today in our society, we so often disregard the individual. We're looking at just simply numbers on a computer bank. We're looking at mass mailings and letters going out without having a signature or an address to whom it's directed. We've lost that individual, personal quality of life and of living. And the Lord is redressing it, and he says, take care, even over one of these least ones. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the favorite name he uses to describe himself, the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Our lives destroyed by sin, ruined, useless before God, and no happiness to ourselves. And here he is, giving us a word of hope this morning. Let me try to break it down, and let me try to set it clearly before us, that we might understand again the wonder of this gospel and the word from the Lord for ourselves today. First of all, I want us to look at the subject of the thought. Who was the shepherd thinking about? He wasn't thinking about the 99 that were safe in the fold. He was thinking of that one that was roaming in the hills. When you think of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world, we've got to realize the great step that he took in doing so. He left the glory of heaven. He left the fellowship with the Father and with the Spirit and the praise of angels. And he came into this world. And again, we've got to remind ourselves of what that meant. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is a holy person. a sensitive person, much more so than the most sensitive of human beings. And therefore, coming into a world where there is sin round about on every side, just imagine how offensive that environment, just imagine how offensive living in that kind of company would be to the Lord Jesus Christ, constantly offending him. But never once did he retaliate, speak out, or react harshly. Because he came with this one thought in his mind. He came to search out and to save each and every one of his own sheep, to call and to find every one of his straying children. This was a pressing concern to him, because in his mind and his thought he could see the sheep there alone on the highway, in the hills, confronted by danger lurking round about in his whole environment, defenseless against the enemy. Not thinking straight, just ploughing on, going further and further away. And all the while in the mind of the shepherd, that one sheep is uppermost. The subject of the thought. And it can easily be brought home to us when you go to John's Gospel chapter 17 and we find there the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. And he's praying for his people in progressively expanding sweeps of words. He is embracing, first of all, the group of disciples that were round about him. And then he goes out further to those that would believe through them. And then he goes out and he embraces all of his believing people through the years and to the corners of the world. They are the subject of his thoughts. They are in his prayers. Because they are his possession. The contrast that we have between the shepherd and somebody who is hired to look after it is brought out in other places in our scriptures. The shepherd knows the sheep, cares for each one of them, knows their character. Someone's very skittish, others are very retiring. Sheep have character, and the shepherd knows them. So does the Lord of all his people. But for the hireling, are there just sheep? How many? About 100. That indifference contrasts in the hireling with the shepherd. But for the Lord, they are his sheep. They are his by choice. They are his as the gift of the Father to himself. And they are his because he died on the cross to save them. They are his property. And he loves them with a deep, deep passion. Again, when you look at our Lord as he came towards Jerusalem for the last time, and he came over the brow of the hill and he looked down upon the city and he could see that city, not with all of the colors of whatever was going on in the city. He didn't look at it in physical terms or in a physical way, but he saw it much more solemnly in a spiritual way, he says, and speaks about them as being a chicken. And a word of warning that comes, and they don't run to the comfort and the protection of the hen. And our Lord, we are told, was moved with compassion. There was a movement in his gut, deep inside him. He had a passion and a concern for spiritual things in his people. The sheep who aimlessly wander, exposing themselves to ruin and to danger. They find no rest, they find no peace, they find no safety. The passion of the shepherd, going out and seeking for them. It was love that took him out. It was love that took him to this world. It was that love and care for himself. for his own. It is the hallmark all through his life, and is seen in its greatest and most attractive of colours, that love that took him to the cross. Because there he made provision for his sheep. There he made provision so that those who were feeling the weight that we feel, those who are where we are, lost perhaps on the highways of life, embroiled with all that's going around about us in daily living, taken up and captivated by the things that are the busyness of life round about us. That's where the Lord's people might be today, in the highway of life. And the Lord has made provision for them to be saved. His thoughts have moved into actions and into provision. And on the cross he's opened the way for them to return. He has made there available a path at no cost to us, so that we might return to God and be assured of a welcome and a forgiveness and a pardon. But if it didn't cost us anything, we've got to at the same time remind ourselves that it cost Jesus everything, because he gave his life so that this path might be open for us. That is the cross, where the person who is burdened, concerned, where the person with a spiritual weight finds rest and relief and respite. And it is to that cross that the gospel invites us to come, even now. But the provision goes one aspect further. Because we are told that when the Lord goes, he will send another comforter. He will send the Holy Spirit amongst us. And the Holy Spirit is with us here in our service this morning. And it is the function and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take these passages of Scripture that so often we don't understand, or that we look at in a very superficial way. And the Holy Spirit takes these familiar images and pictures, and he breaks them down to us. And we begin to see their spiritual content and their spiritual application to ourselves. And by God's Holy Spirit, we have our eyes opened to read our own life, to see the way he has made available for us. And we feel especially the power of the Holy Spirit touching our hearts and our souls, calling us to himself. This is the work of God. These lost sheep are the subject of the thought of Jesus Christ. He thinks of us. And now he challenges us to think of him. The subject of his thought. But then we go on and we see here not only the subject of his thought, we see here that these sheep are the object of his searching. He left the company of angels. He became the friend, we're told quite specifically, he became the friend of publicans and sinners. That's the company he sought, despite their offense to his holiness. And he did it because of the object of his searching. He was going out searching for these publicans, for these sinners. He goes out searching for the likes of you and me. This is his definite aim. After a specific sheep, after one that is lost there in a particular area, in a particular danger. The object of his search, he sets his aim, he sets his sights upon it, and he pursues after it. He seeks out, even through the busyness and the crowds of life, he seeks out his own sheep today. It happens here through the preaching of the gospel, Someone in the congregation may well experience the things that we're talking about, the spiritual experiences we're highlighting. When the arrow of God's word strikes home to your heart, when you know that God is speaking personally to yourself, it's not something you can dismiss or walk away from. It's not something indifferent. It's something vital. It's significant. It's something new to you. God taking aim and firing the arrow of his word, getting his man. We can be used in that purpose in many different ways, every one of us. The Lord can use so many different instruments. We might make a comment in conversation. It might be something that's said in the main part of the sermon. It might be an illustration that's taken in or a scripture reference that is given. So many different ways in which the Lord can feather the arrow and then fire it to our hearts. Remember what it says in the book of Isaiah. You are mine. I have called you by name. These personal dealings, when the Lord speaks, and he speaks personally to us. And no matter where you've been going, no matter how dangerous and complex your life pattern now is, no matter how complex the path that you've taken way deep into the hills, the shepherd goes out searching, looking. It might be by many dangerous passages through bog and scrub. It might be deep into the moor, far into the hills. But the object of the search is still the same. The shepherd going out with a commitment and a relentless determination to find those who are lost, because that's the purpose and that's the passion of his life. And he will not tolerate any limitation on that purpose. He keeps going until he finds those who are lost. No matter how far you've gone, love will follow you. Mercy will pursue you. And the Lord will track you down. Oh, we try to run. Remember when the Lord spoke to the prophet Jonah and told Jonah what to do? Jonah, what did he do? He immediately got on a boat and he tried to run to Joppa. He tried to get away. But the Lord was waiting for him there. And so it is from so many other people. People have tried to run to Australia. People have tried to run to Africa. People have tried to run to hide themselves in the city and amongst people or in the wilderness away from people. But people have tried to run in many different ways. And what we say is true in their experience. The Lord searches and he keeps on pursuing in his love for them until he finds them. And he will use any and every means to reach that end. Be it through, yes, a sermon, a word. Be it through an experience in your life. Be it through something that's said, or a book you pick up, or a text that comes back to your memory. So many different arrows in the quiver of the Lord. And in the wisdom of God's dealings with us, and out of the perfect knowledge he has of every one of us, the Lord uses something different for you and me and the next one. But that difference is always perfectly matched to our characters. And the arrow will strike home. The object of his search. And then, having found the sheep, what do we find? The burden of his love. The searching is over and he lays the sheep upon his shoulders and carries it home. He doesn't do it grudgingly or reluctantly, but gladly. The very last gasp, we all know how sheep, even although they're at the verge of weakness and utter exhaustion, That sheep will try to find just that little bit extra energy to escape or evade the shepherd who's chasing it and tracking it down. There will be that last spurt. There will be that last burst trying to get away from the shepherd. Remember one occasion in Luke's Gospel chapter 9, after the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a father and a son came to the disciples at the foot of the mountain, and the son was possessed, and they came asking that the helper, that the disciples would help. They couldn't. And they were waiting there for the Lord to come back down the mountain. And when he came, something significant happened. When he came, there was one last, we know what Custard's last stand was, the Battle of Little Bighorn, the last stand of the 7th Cavalry. Well, here is the last stand of the possessed son. The Lord was coming. And the Lord was going to cure. But there was that last burst of possession in that son. But what happens? The shepherd lays hold of the sheep and holds it tight and lifts it firmly upon his shoulders. The love of the Lord holding us, keeping us, and lifting us home. We've wandered so far, there's so much mud and dirt and thorns and everything else stuck to our fleece. There's so much that'll track out and pass and show up where we've been, what we've done, where we've gone. The weariness of life possesses our bones. But there's no harsh rebuke on the part of the Lord. The Lord loves his people and rejoices over the one that is found and is returned. And he takes us back to restore us again to the fold. We can go into the trophy room of God's grace. We see there the ones the Lord has found and restored. The ones who have been struggling and given great exertion to the Lord. The ones who have been so obstinate and hard-hearted. There you find Saul and Paul of Tarsus. There you find the boasting Peter. There you find John Newton, the slave captain. There you find doubting Thomas. You look round and you find the Philippian jailer out of the harsher environment he came from. There you find the gentle Lydia whose heart the Lord opened. All of them redeemed. All of them loved. All of them carried and restored back. So different, but all saved. He takes us from the fearful pit. He takes us from the miry clay. He lifts us out of the mess of our own lives. And he puts us on his shoulders. And he carries us back home. How long have we been astray? 20? 30? 40 years? How long have we been astray? How long has the Lord been speaking to our soul? How long has the Lord been seeking us out? But when he finds us, there is that instant deliverance. We immediately know from his hand pardon and forgiveness. Nobody has gone too deep. Nobody has gone too far. Nobody is too weak, too spoilt. Nobody is too set in their habits that they are beyond the reach of the shepherd who goes seeking the lost sheep. The burden of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the essence of this gospel we proclaim. And we find at the very end of it, of this simple story that the Lord tells, the source of joy. The joy over that one that is restored. The Lord loves all his children. But we often know it in our own experience with our own children. that there are special circumstances that brings that love into sharper focus. Perhaps a child that is ill, and we lavish care and time and concern over that child. And when the child is restored, there's more joy because of that recovery. But the love of that special occasion might be translated on another time to another child in a different circumstance at another time and place. There's that love simply because of the special circumstance bringing that child home, rejoicing in heaven over each and every newly returned soul. We forget all the troubles. We forget all the difficulties. The sheep is now resting in the fold by the river, eating grass. Never far from the shepherd anymore, safely underneath the protection of that shepherd. The source of joy, that one that was lost and now is found. When you go through that chapter, which gives three examples of searching and finding, you find, first of all, there's 100. And then there's 10. And eventually you come to the prodigal son where there is one. And that one son who's gone and squandered everything in a distant land with unsociable company, comes to himself and returns to the father that he has spurned. There is there a great feast because of his return along that path of repentance. And he was going to say all of these rehearsed speeches to his father, and he hardly gets past the first sentence because of this joy that the one who was lost is now found and restored. The challenge of these words to ourselves then, with all of the feelings and experience we've got, the weight and the guilt and the pain that no one else sees but we feel ourselves, and the Lord speaking to us here this morning, breaking into our life in a new way, calling us to seek after himself, turning to him. He comes to heal us, to pardon us, to give us purpose in life and peace in our soul. These are the things that we look for. These are the things that we need. But we can't find them anywhere else but in this gospel and from the hands of the divine shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only from the chief shepherd, the one who goes beyond any human illustration in the spiritual provision and care that he has as he goes out seeking those who were lost and finds and restores them. And the concern that we have this morning is that that one who was lost and is found would be you coming to know Christ as your Savior. Let us pray. O Lord our God, the wonder of the work of salvation confronts us daily, and especially as we gather in church like this. And we pray, Lord, that thy word might come upon us with a renewed weight and application and urgency, that it might be applied to us where we are, what we're feeling, what we're going through. And we pray, Lord, that from thy word we might get some comfort and ease and rest for our soul. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.